and gentlemen, this is The War Room, Infowars.com, band.video. And I say that with relish, since tomorrow will be the last day that we'll be broadcasting out of these studios, the last day we'll be operating under the Infowars banner. And I thought in I don't know if celebration is the right word, but commemoration of this, I don't know, to memorialize Infowars, I wanted to bring on Jason Burmis. If you're tuned in here, I hope you know him well. You can follow him on X at Jason Burmis or rumble.com/C/TheInfoWarrior. And Jason, you truly are an info warrior from the early days. I was watching you yesterday on the Alex Jones show when you said you were the first person ever to have a show on InfoWars besides Alex Jones. Welcome to the show, sir. How are you feeling about the downfall of InfoWars?
You know, I wouldn't call it a downfall. I definitely didn't have, you know, washed up Adult Swim comedian taking it over. That was something that was news to me. And look, I'm a pretty, you know, dark humor, subversive guy. You know, Robot Chicken, probably one of my all-time faves from that network. During that era, Aqua Teen, Hunger Force, and those type things got by. But I specifically remember trying to watch Tim and Eric, right?
Yep.
And actually, while I was at InfoWars, if you look it up, I think they put out a movie, the Tim and Eric Awesome Movie or whatever, and it was pretty unwatchable. It's like a poor man's Mr. Show. Right. I actually still really enjoy, you know, David Cross, even though he's a super lefty at this point as well. And even Bill Maher is calling him out on some of his politics. But look, I try not to necessarily confuse the artist's politics with the art itself, but their art's pretty garbage. I'm not going to lie. I think,
well, it's, you know, it's different when it's an actor. You know, an actor's playing a part, he's reading a role, whatever. But no, this is their brain on the screen when you see the stuff that Tim and Eric makes. It's pretty disgusting.
There's some dark stuff out there with Rick and Morty, right? In fact, one of the co-creators straight up had to resign. And these are things that just never get discussed because he was having inappropriate texts with what I believe was a 16-year-old girl at the time. And even Dan Harmon, who is now kind of the head of the show, Harmon, you know, he's parodied Alex Jones before. He was the one that produced that, Community rant about Alex Jones. I don't know if you remember that one, but it was on Infowars.com. Alex Jones said it. And Harmon, you know, has his video, if anybody wants to go see it. I don't know why you would. Of him literally sneaking into a home through a window so that he can play sexually abuse a baby toy in a diaper. I don't know what else to tell you. That's not necessarily my brand of humor. And with Tim and Eric, you know, again, their biggest claim to fame is probably putting John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell together so much before they exploded with things like Talladega Nights and Step Brothers. Step Brothers, really not my thing. I don't understand why that became a cult classic either. But look, The Onion hasn't, I said this yesterday, The Onion hasn't been relevant actually since I was at Infowars.com. Like, they had a little bit of a run in the MySpace days. I specifically remember when they were going to video and,
sorry
that skit, everybody.
Yeah, whoops.
Yeah, oh, whoops. So, you know, back in the day, when you looked at this like overview, right, basically you had them burgeoning to try to almost be alternative media. In fact, the guy that they used for Cracked, he used to be a fake news anchor for them. And they had this panel where they were talking about how all these social media companies, I believe it was MySpace in particular, were spying on everything you did. And somebody mentioned like a social media post, and the guy goes, "Yep, that's how they got my aunt." So they could have been, you know, the Babylon Bee, which obviously at this point is the superior product. But I don't think a relaunch is going to work. I think there's probably going to be a lot of PR and money behind it. You're probably going to see them doing the talk show circuit that is more and more irrelevant. I would imagine that, you know, Tim, who already has his own podcast, he'll try to do as much of the podcast comedy circuit as he can.
It's not going to work. I think they're going to go down in months. Hold on. 60 seconds. We'll be right back with Jason Burmis. Don't go anywhere, folks.
What's this? Oh, I've got Power Plan. Oh, what's this?
I've got Methyl Drive, the two ingredients in the Power Drive bundle, which is available at thealexjonesstore.com. Take them. Pure power, pure energy, raise testosterone, improve mitochondrial function, methylation genes in enzymatic processes throughout the body. Pairs perfectly, absolutely perfectly with Methylene Blue. These are the two products made to work in conjunction together with Methylene Blue. I made them, I developed them, high quality mineral blends, methylation blends, adaptogenic herbs, functional mushrooms, and the CoQ10, the PQQ. What you want for metabolic health and mitochondrial function. I want you to win today. I want you to succeed. Take out the enemy. Choose freedom.
Front lines of the information war. This is the War Room with Harrison Smith. Join the battle now on band.video and X worldwide.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour is on for this Wednesday, the 29th of April, broadcast of the War Room on Infowars.com and band.video. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, joined by the one and only Jason Burmis at Jason Burmis on X, rumble.com/C/TheInfoWarrior. And, of course, there's a million reasons to have Jason Burmis on. He is an encyclopedic knowledge of so much of the corruption that's happened in America and around the world recently. And that's always impressed me about you, Jason, because I'm more of a big picture guy. I get lost in the details. I can tell you, yeah, there was a guy from kind of this area and he did this thing. And then you'll come in and be like, his name was Greg. He was born on this date. And you've got all the data right there at your hand. You've been doing this for a long time. Just give us your, I mean, retrospective, looking back to when you first joined InfoWars to where we are now, where you are now. How do you sum up this the last couple of decades of the information war that you've waged?
Let me take it back further. You know, you just mentioned like that I have decent recall, right? It was actually, you know, Jones's recall that caught me off guard. And let me explain that to people. You know, for those that don't know, I'm one of the guys that produced Loose Change, probably the biggest film, questioning 9/11. But yep. Prior to that, when I was on my journey of truth, you know, it was about a year after 9/11 when I really started digging into research. And at one point, pretty early on, I had found a real video. Now, a lot of you people aren't even going to know what a real video is. So before the days of MP4 or even AVI, MPEG, forget about it. There was a real video player, and it was like the worst compressed 240p would have been awesome. Not yep. even close. Okay, so I was a huge internet pirate at the time. I had all the, you know, everybody talks about Napster, but there were so many others that were beyond that, like Morpheus and Kazaa, the Newtel and Notel networks.
Yep.
And I was trying to find everything I could on 9/11. And so I find a real media file, 2 hours and 30 minutes almost, I believe. 9/11, The Road to Tyranny, from this guy named Alex Jones. Harrison, the audio was out of sync, and even though he was putting articles up on the screen throughout the documentary, it was very hard to read. So I get done with this thing. This is a much younger Alex Jones. We're talking about this is literally 2002. And first of all, his voice was so annoying, bro. Like I'm thinking to myself with my big brain. I think I'm 22, 23 at the time. I'm gonna prove this stupid redneck wrong because. One of the things that, you know, he had a bend on was, you know, there was the stuff about Satanism. It had like that Christian bent on it. And he talked about the New World Order a lot. Now, I didn't like that because I actually grew up in a pretty religious household, did a lot of church as a kid. And the only place that I really heard that terminology was in church. And I thought, you know, a lot of these people were totally crazy. At the same time, as a kid, I did gravitate towards Revelation. So, you know, I knew the Mark of the Beast stuff and the chipping the population and all this other stuff. So it was probably that tail end of 9/11, The Road to Tyranny, where he got into that stuff and he's showing this family on the Today Show literally being chipped on television in response to 9/11 that, you know, threw me for a loop, but knew, you know, put in my brain, especially, again, the clips of Bohemian Grove in there. You know, a lot of people talk about that verse of the mark of man. But what they don't tell you is, like, just before that, they talk about the rulers of the world essentially pretending that they're of God and of the people, but the complete and total opposite, right? So then you find out, like, a lot of these guys, you know, doing this thing in front of this owl god are Christian conservatives, right? And you're just like, whoa, this is, you know, my idea of Satanism at that point, outside of Hollyweird, Harrison, was, you know, the goth kid in my art class that was 100 pounds overweight wearing eye makeup. Right. Like, that was it. Like, that's what I thought, was, you know, was that, was a goof. And there's no way there was, like, concentrated power. So, you know, I start digging in pretty hard. And, you know, this is all even before I'm involved in Loose Change. So I'm burning not even DVDs at the time, but CDRs of evidence that I'm finding, different documentaries. 700 megabytes is all you had. Sometimes I'd have to put an actual media player EXE on there. So, I mean, you talk about people not knowing what to do. So, you know, I watch the film, and then I start, you know, I'm pausing as he's going, and I'm going, and I'm reading the source material, because the internet, even at that time, you know, honestly, Google's new, everybody. People are still using, like, Yahoo. I was using WebCrawler, all these other things.
AltaVista, what was it? AltaVista, was that one?
That one was probably more in line. I'm pretty sure that might have been on the Macs, right? Because they didn't even have Windows Explorer or Netscape, anything like that. They had Safari. Yeah, like, we're talking old school.
Right.
So I'm, as he's doing it, I get the article, and I start reading it. And I'm like, wow, this is actually worse than he said. This is absolutely terrible. So, you know, I end up watching some of his other movies, his police state stuff. I'll never forget the first time that I saw him. I think it's at it's either at the Grand Canyon or it's at Yellowstone Park. I want to say it's the Grand Canyon. But he's explaining how so much of our, you know, sovereign parkland has essentially been given over to the United Nations. Right. Mm-hmm. And this is just kind of a move to push you into global governance. So there's like 20 tourists out there, like, all just with their family. And, like, all of a sudden Alex Jones just comes in there and he's like, attention. And he just starts explaining how the globalists have now taken over your national parks. And at one level, I'm like, this is the most cringeworthy thing I've ever seen in my life. On the other level, I'm watching it. I'm like, well, that's the balls it's going to take to explain what's really going on, because it is so far over the top. Yeah. And, you know, as I've kind of grown through this, like you said, the past 20 plus years, you know, my biggest issue is Harrison. I was always a guy that I heard something and I either had to try to verify it or disprove it. But either way, no matter what bend I was going into, I would always accept the evidence that was presented to me. And I never tried to break out my jump to conclusions mat and say, I know this for sure, right? And now we've shifted so much in the past 20 plus years. A lot of that does have to do with the Trump movement, the QAnon sense, even the distortion of a lot of the pizza and pedogate stuff that was absolutely real, but then got poisoned. Because a lot of people don't understand that that QAnon sense network was very much derived by that same network behind the scenes. Like, we actually do know where that was trolled and started. And on one end, it co-opted a lot, but it also brought a lot of anti-war people in, right? But, like, my frustration now is, you know, clearly Butler was real, right? All the I don't know if you watched yesterday, I showed the Trump comb over where you get the best shot of his bald head that you ever have.
I did see that.
Guys,
yeah.
If you thought it was 55D chess, Donald Trump would never allow his bald head to be shown the way it was after he was almost shot in the head. Let's be really honest. That's what happened. All right. And I got to hear about blood capsules that don't exist. And look, I'll look at everything. So somebody says that to me, I go, show me the video.
Right.
Show me the video where I can see him doing something like that. Anything looks suspicious. Instead, I'll show you the video of them pulling out the stiff father of two that got murdered in the stands. I'll show you the video of, within seconds of the shooting, the pullback and the hydraulic crane in the back drum that's been hit, I believe it's two or three times. Yep. But you can see the water coming out. You know, I'll show you the evidence that we still don't talk about the guy that actually stopped that shooting, that wasn't the Secret Service, that was actually a National Guardsman who was a beat cop, and he claims he already shot the gun out of his hand before he got his head caved in. So you got to wonder why they caved his head in, right? Like it's not that I believe the official version. It's that I don't believe in Johnny nonsense that's just total mental illness. You know, the mask thing. Yep. There's another one, Harrison. Drives me absolutely bananas because I'm one of the first guys to ever talk about the Central Intelligence Agency masks. I'm one of the first guys that showed you the pictures of the second Bush administration with the CIA woman who comes in with the mask and all these things. I'm the guy that probably has made the biggest deal out of signature reduction, America's secret military that is in no check, that Kash Patel, before he was the FBI director, when I confronted him on it, he walked off my show. Thanks, Kash. You're a top-notch guy, okay? Where in that one, forget about just the mask stuff, guys. You should be very concerned about this. They show you a DARPA-made silicon hand sleeve that can have anybody's biometric information on it. Now, we all tap-a-tap-a-do. And most of you guys are like, here, take my thumbprint. Like, I got too many Johnson pics on here. I don't want everybody to see. Like, everybody's giving up their biometric information. Not only does the hand sleeve will biometrically print out your fingerprints, but it can also emit human oils. So if you were a genius and you did 23andMe, they probably own your DNA and you could be set up for anything. Like, I mean, that program is one that still blows my mind. I think his name is William Arkin, who was the author of that. I never got to really speak to him in person, but I tried to get him on the show behind the scenes, and I was about to, and then the Ukraine war kicked off. And, like, he's an interesting guy. I need that to be followed up because that's gone on through, you know, the first of all, when it came out, I believe the article is 2017. It'd already been in play for a decade plus. So we're talking about tail end of the Bush administration into Obama. Never a mention during the Trump administration. Obviously went on in Biden and now is continued in Trump too. It is literally the most anti-constitutional thing that you could absolutely imagine. You have a domestic force of 60,000 plus, larger than a clandestine CIA, embedded in all the major companies. They're embedded in X. They're embedded in Lockheed Martin and Raytheon and Google and YouTube. Okay, all of it. So I know I went on a mega rant there, and it was like from one end to the other.
No.
But that's what InfoWars is to me, is that you can come on here, you can say whatever you want, okay? There is no censorship box. Come with the evidence, because there's been plenty of people throughout the years, that I had on the show that ended up being complete and total grifters. You know, Benjamin Fulford, I'll never forget that. Early days, for those that don't know, this guy was coming out with legitimate information, had done a lot for Forbes magazine, actually. And then all of a sudden, he's talking about, like, pre-QAnon sense. There was, like, a Japanese Yakuza Illuminati that was good. And they were the white hats that were taking out the bad Illuminati. And
I like that. I'd watch that movie. That sounds cool.
Well, let's just say, you know, he's still around, Harrison. And there are certain people that will point to his stuff. And, you know, last week, we had an unfortunate death. And look, I don't like going after people, but David Wilcock, it was very apparent to me right away that he had taken his own life, not just from the reports, but from what I had known of him for many, many years. Like, he partnered with Fulford on the Illuminati Japanese grift well before the QAnon sense stuff. He was a guy who talked about the several days of darkness. And at the end of the day, you know, he was on Ancient Aliens all the time because of being on InfoWars all those years ago, Harrison.
Right.
I left in 2010 after I did Invisible Empire, right? And I got offered the History Channel for their 2012 show, right? And this was in another grift everybody was on.
That was a big one.
And I was like, guys, you go back to my archives. People used to call in to a show much like this one all the time to warn me about 2012.
Yep.
And I'd be like, pay your taxes.
You're right.
Like, don't decide that, like, the world's ending. We're going to wake up. There's going to be a New Year's 2013, right. All of it. And so I remember them calling me up And I'm sitting there talking to them. And what if this? Well, what do you think of this? I go, I don't believe any of it. I go, I'm very well versed in it. If you want me to discredit it, please have me on. So, of course, I'm not going to be on there. And they had their 2012 show, and guess what? It aged like milk.
Right.
So, exactly. So, you know, from what I understand with Wilcock, you know, he actually invested in another grift company. Maybe he wanted to believe his own Johnny Nonsense. But again, I know you've been around a lot of these people. A lot of these people are all ego and no substance, right? It's what's getting clicks now. And look, I've kind of remained, you know, just baseline under the radar. Most people do not know who I am. And then I end up talking to somebody. I remember the first time that I really met you. You know, we ended up having like a 2 or 3 hour conversation.
Oh, yeah.
But look, I come with the goods. I'm ready to debate anybody on anything I've ever said. And when I'm wrong, Harrison, I go, hey, I'm a human being. I got it wrong because nobody is going to get it right 100%. It's what's called being human.
Yeah.
And then people will be like, oh, well, what'd you get wrong? Well, I didn't think they were going to put a dementia patient in the White House.
Right.
You know, I was watching those Democratic primaries. And when I was watching those debates, I'm like, I thought they were going to do Grandma Oatmeal. I thought it was going to be Elizabeth Warren, right?
Right.
She clicked a lot of the identity politics boxes. She wasn't dementia gel. No, they're like, let's throw it right in their face. Let's have good old Joey B come in there for one last hurrah. So, look, there's no way.
Sometimes it's like they're crazier than you even give them credit for. I have that same problem with Iran. I'm like, look, you know, I know Trump loves Israel, but like he's not going to go to war with Iran because that would be crazy. And it's like, all right, I was wrong. He did. But like, I'll tell you why I thought it. But, you know, we can explain our reasoning, why we believe stuff. That's why I was just letting you talk, because we align so perfectly. And it's like we talk about this stuff, you know, off screen or whatever. It's just there's something about like the InfoWars mindset that is just like, give me the facts. Give me the truth. If I'm wrong, I want to know. It's not going to hurt my feelings. I'm not going to be ashamed. I believe this for a very good reason. If you can tell me a different reason that's better, then I'll go with you. As Winston Churchill said, I'd rather be right than consistent, right? I don't want to be consistently wrong. I'll be inconsistent as long as I end up correct. And then I just, the story about finding the real player and having to, that's it, right? That goes to the heart of it, because that's what it used to be like. It used to be like treasure hunting. You used to have to go into these weird websites that would destroy your computer if you clicked on the wrong thing, and you had to, you know, find it and decode it and put it on a DVD to give to your friend. I mean, there was a barrier to entry to get into this stuff. Now that's all been destroyed, which in part is a good thing. But then, as you're pointing out, we got a lot of people that are sort of off the reservation and have been exposed to all this stuff. And it's completely pulled the rug out from under them, and they don't know what's real and what's fake anymore. How do we deal with that? How do we deal with the people that just can't quite handle the level of truth that's being exposed right now?
What I like to do is try to bring people into reality. All right, first, let's find something we agree on, right? And obviously, if you're watching me, we probably agree on something. But let me like key into another one of these lunatic things that just goes viral for no reason. For some reason, people want to believe Epstein's alive. And I get it. We've been lied to so much, right?
I might be one of these people, but go on.
Well, I'll give you an example, Harrison, of dishonest brokers, right? So what goes viral? The picture of Epstein with a beard in Tel Aviv that's clearly AI, right? Goes
right.
Super mega fancy viral, right? What goes viral? Ghislaine Maxwell deep faked onto a woman looking 20 years her junior today, right? Oh, no, it's her. She's out. Nope. Okay. Ghislaine.
Right.
So, one of the big things, because I often point, a lot of people say there's no autopsy photos of Epstein. Now, they should be in the Epstein files, 1,000%. And I don't know why that is an omission, but 60 Minutes did get them. And they did two pieces where they did publish a ton of them. So, I'll often point to that, right? But then people will come at me and go, the autopsy says he has a prostate and the files say that he doesn't. Go read the files. The two documents that they show you, the one is a boilerplate document where that appears basically as a referendum if you have had your prostate taken out, right? And the other is a conversation with Branson, right? That's the one where they're talking about clones and headless people and harvesting. Yeah. It's a really fascinating conversation.
Yeah.
But when they're talking about the prostate, The way they clip it, it sounds like Jeffrey's saying he doesn't have a prostate. But in fact, he's saying if you can still do it if you don't have a prostate. He wasn't referring to himself. You just got to read the paragraph and a half before. So those are the big evidences. Another evidence I'll see is that, you know, there's a couple pictures in there of Epstein posing out with a tribal tattoo across his arm, right? But take a look at it. It's totally fresh. It looks like it's either a fake tattoo or maybe he had some henna done and he's showing it off like big time. You know what I mean? It's probably not there because it's not there on the autopsy files. And I've only seen it in these two photographs where it's, you know, there's no Vaseline on it. He doesn't have the plastic over it. Right. They're obviously, you know, taping and filming all these other things. And then, you know, there are just so many other things. Like, people want to make it just about Israel. And it's like, well, no, you look at Peter Mandelson, for instance. Oh, he's got, don't get me wrong, Epstein's got a great relationship with Israel. He's also got a great relationship with Peter 17-time Bilderberger Mandelson, who he's giving a script to for his attendance at Bilderberg through his surrogate, Leslie Groff. And by the way, working on a documentary series right now called The Epstein Files, hoping we're going to drop that first edition, maybe by the end of May. We'll see. You know, those are labors of love, and they're honestly the hardest things that I do. But, you know, I try to bring people into that information, right? And then say, challenge me on it. Like, am I wrong there?
Right.
And, you know, especially like with the Trump thing on Butler, so that's feelings over facts every time. I'll ask for forensic evidence and go, and people will go, he got the perfect camera shot, the photo right. shoot. And I go, well, you know, I watched that photo shoot take place because the guy actually wears a GoPro, right? And from what I'm seeing is people are disorientated. And you know, it's just like the one person who's got their iPad. And they're like, oh, that person's definitely – looks like they're taping with an iPad to me.
Right.
Right? My only question in incidents like that and the Charlie Kirk murder when it comes to that type of surveillance gear is where are all the videos?
Yeah.
Like, honestly, we should have like 20 other videos of the of Trump shooting for real. We should have 20 other videos. Well, it's truth. Yeah. I mean, you wonder why we don't have that. Like, for instance, you know, I just spoke about that woman that has the iPad. Where's that video? Are you telling me that we're now at that level where our own government doesn't even go and grab that evidence after the fact because they don't want it to leak out? I find that very, very hard. I think they're that competent. At the same time, like I said, with this latest shooting, which, again, I don't think it's if. I think it's how much medication has this person been on. I think you got people within the FBI that are allowing the lunatics to run wild. I think you got the literal goof troop, bottom of the barrel, Secret Service detail on Trump for a reason. You see that guy trying to pull his gun on the dude that bolts through.
Oh, my God.
Is
the thing.
I don't want him running a bar security. I don't want him checking IDs at a college bar. And he's garbage.
And this is the thing, you know, never ascribe to incompetence or never ascribe to malice what can be explained by incompetence. But it's like either we're so utterly incompetent or there's a level of incompetence that is indistinguishable from malice. And at a certain point, we got to put an end to it. And when it comes to Epstein and the Charlie Kirk murder for me, I'm just sort of okay with accepting that I'll never have absolute proof one way or the other. I can lean one way. I can go, I think this is the most likely. But I just understand if Epstein was alive, we would never know. And if he was dead, it would look like it how it is anyway. There's a certain aspect of like Schrodinger's truth where it's like it's both true and untrue. We got to plow forward with that. More with Jason Burmess on the other side. We'll be right back, folks. Short commercial break.
Right now is the time to support InfoWars' Twilight. We are shutting down next Thursday night. The InfoWar continues for all of you. The AlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Bigley. It owns the Alex Jones Network. They won't be able to shut us down. We have fought them, and we will continue on. But I need your support. The supplements, the methylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, it is all incredible, top-rated, so good for you. You're insane if you don't get it. And we're running a fundraiser here. All the original InfoWars products, we're not going to sell once this goes through. Because even though we're battling in court, they could come back and say we violated their whatever. So if you want to get original InfoWars gear and the new update, the 1776 line, now is the time. Also, they're running mega sales every day for the next week at Bigley. If you subscribe to any supplement, you can lock it in for 50% off when you buy it into the future. Cancel anytime with one click. Sign up for any supplement subscription. You get 50% off plus a free bottle of either Ultimate Chill or Ultimate Energy. Incredible formulas. Ultimate Chill helps support calm, balance, and focus. Ultimate Energy helps support energy, drive, and mental intensity. Third deal on top of it. Every order gets a free mystery gift with purchase. Biggest sales ever. We want to hire more hosts. We want to expand once this is over. We want to go at least 5 a.m. to midnight every night. We've got big plans, okay? We fought all the way. We rode until the wheels came off. We're going all the way. We're still going to block the onion scammers that got exposed a year and a half ago. They're trying it again. We're going to sue the living hell out of them. Wait till after our guest leaves us. We found incredible information on them. It is so shocking. It's going to just blow you away. Guess what they're into? I don't think you'll be surprised, but it's so bad. You're not going to. I mean, it is the sickest stuff you've ever seen. Out and out Satanism, torturing, murdering children. They love it. They're promoting it. Wait till you see this with Will Ferrell, everything. It's all coming up. But I will continue to fight these people 110%. I love it. I'm built to do it. But I cannot do it without your backing and support. So make the decision now, especially the 99% of you, have millions of viewers a day, that never go to theoliveshowstore.com to get these incredible items, incredible knives, silver coins, collectibles. It's all there. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And it's a free app. TheAlexJonesApp.com. Android, on Apple, it's all there. It's free. Get it. The show's right there in the center of it. And you get big discounts on the shopping cart when you do it through the app. AlexJonesApp.com. And soon we'll announce the new news site that's even better than InfoWars. It's all coming up. But I can't do it without you. You get all the credit. I need your support now. Firing the bat signal. I want to thank all for your past support. But those that haven't supported, what are you doing? TheAlexJonesStore.com. Stay with us. I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra Methylene Blue.
I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. I mean, this is just bonker town. Get yours now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, joined today by Jason Burmess. Follow him on X at Jason Burmess and rumble.com/C/TheInfoWarrior. And... you know, I really think what we're talking about here is valuable because the information landscape right now is such a maelstrom of chaos and people don't know what to believe and they don't know who's, you know, real and who's fake. And one thing I have to keep telling people is you might not be as good at spotting frauds as you think you are, because they really suspect a lot of people that I'm like, no, they're the realest person that there is. And here you are calling them a Fed or whatever. And it's just, it's not necessarily blackpilling, but it's kind of just like, what are we doing here? What are we all focusing on? How do we transmute this awakening into political action that's meaningful and powerful and good? And how do we stop the division? And how do we stop just the endless stream of chaos that we're constantly subjected to? I spent the first hour today just going over like the left, who just like hates their own policies. If you actually express their own policies to them, they have this knee jerk reaction of just like, that's crazy. No one would ever do that. It's like it's your first line of your manifesto. So I just, you know, everything just seems unmoored right now. How do we reclaim some sanity here while still acknowledging that like people have good reason to be suspicious? They have good reason to be untrusting. How do we bridge the gap between like sufficient skepticism and skepticism that's so, you know, universal that it means you just can't believe anything and know anything ever? How do we bridge this gap? How do we provide the trail for people to follow here?
Well, it's the post-truth world, right? Like, this is why Bilderberg was talking about it. And you can argue whether they were saying that because of outlets by like Infowars.com. They say everything is fake, or the fact that they know that they've put out everything that's fake, or the fact that now visually we can't trust our eyes 99% of the time, and it's made it so that it is kind of universally unaccepted on some level, no matter what the narrative is, right? So how do we change that? I don't know that we can, Harrison. I don't want to be a doomer or a black pillar. You just mentioned like everybody with the Fed pointing, right?
Yeah.
I tend not to be that way. I've met a lot of these people behind the scenes that I have vehement disagreements with. I think there are blind spots. I think there are people that are somewhat well-meaning. Again, as a guy who got involved in this in 9/11, I think I interviewed Giuliani now two and a half years ago. Totally surreal experience for me. Mm-hmm. I got to ask him about his city corporation council, his right-hand man, Michael Hess, being blown up in Building 7 with Barry Jennings, who a lot more people are familiar with. And, you know, he gave me a pretty boilerplate answer, but he admitted that it had happened. And he actually then started to talk about all of the documents that were in that building and how they put snipers on the roof to protect those documents. Whoa. So then after the broadcast, I said, Rudy, come on, man, because we actually had a really good conversation, really liked me. I go, you don't think they took down Building 7? And he goes, look, I don't, because of all the CIA documents and things there. He goes, but if they were trying to destroy things, he goes, I'm open to it. After what they did to me, I'm open to all the conspiracy theories, right? And that kind of shows that movement of the culture, right? And let me use Epstein again as an example of something I got wrong, but I still think that he was murdered and not snuck out, right? You had that infamous post, and I think it was either 4chan or 8chan, where you had that individual who said they worked at MCC, that they thought he was swapped out, all that stuff. I was a huge critic of that because I'd seen the stuff that had been posted there, purposely disinformation and went viral, et cetera, et cetera. This is why we need transparency. This is why Thomas Massie is important. In the Epstein files, they took that very seriously, and they did find out that it was, in fact, an MCC employee that did put that there.
Yeah.
Now, I would just note this. Something suspicious could have been going on because obviously it was the next day that he was dead in his cell. I've went through Harrison. There's actually a rapper that's given an interview that was asked about that was, there when Epstein got murdered. He kind of gives the layout. You have, what is it, Francesi, the ex-mafioso guy. He had been on that floor. And the thing about that death is, let's put it into perspective for a moment. First and foremost, I think it was a little less than 2 weeks earlier, he had either tried to commit suicide, which was the first narrative. Then the second narrative the media put out, but a lot of people forget about it, is that he had kind of done it but faked it because he wanted better conditions. Mm. So they spun it that he didn't really try to kill himself, but he was trying to get favor so that he would get moved. And then, of course, we find out that he's in there with Nicholas Tartaglione, somebody who's been convicted of quadruple murder as a dirty cop in a drug deal. Now, I happen to run into a few cops in New York that worked with not only Nicholas Tartaglione, but his brother. Let's just say I highly doubt those are the only four people that man murdered in cold blood. But that's speculating Burmese, okay? Right. Just putting that out there. Not the best. So, that document ends up being real. There, Harrison, prior to that, there had not been a suicide at MCC for 13 years. Wow. There has not been a suicide since Epstein at that prison. He is the only suicide, the most high profile. No one talks about this. Type it into any AI and they'll tell you. I remember when I first got wind of it, I was watching the hearings on it and you had the warden from MCC say it. And I was like, what? You remember, they held El Chapo there. So literally the most high profile prisoner in United States history, possibly the most connected guy ever, is the only suicide in that prison in 20 years now, folks. And you think that's a suicide with all the other evidence around it? No, I think they killed him. I think otherwise you don't have the incident 2 weeks before. Another thing, you know, that, hey, give people credit. They did sneak an ambulance that did not have Epstein in it. And people were pointing to those photos and said, we don't think that's him. And sure enough, they did put a dummy in there to have the press chase an ambulance, and they took him out the back. Yeah. See, I'm open to being wrong. Like, but you're going to have to show me a lot more than, like, I remember when you had the great Rusty Shackelford, who had those drone footages.
So what's your thought on that? Because those were very convincing to me. I've shown those on my show a bunch of times. I mean, that's very questionable to me.
So to me, I got the 4K footage. Mm-hmm. I took it into Premiere immediately. It's not him. It's just like Palm Beach Pete isn't him. And Palm Beach Pete's taking pictures with anybody. He's a social media superstar. Yeah. So I looked at it and I thought, okay, well, you know, I knew that he had a brother, Mark. I didn't know what Mark Epstein looked like. I thought maybe it was him. It could be a lot. I mean, there's a lot of like 65-year-old guys that have kept their hair and gone white, especially in Florida or on islands that look alike. Like, had I thought that was him, man, I'm not afraid to talk about these things, right? But I think that we also lose credibility when you jump on bandwagons. I also think people become audience captured. Mm. They know what's going to have the clicks. I could give a flying rat's ass.
Right.
Like, you know, for instance, last night on social media, somebody that has a pretty good presence there starts posting about the shadow 9/11 commission that's in the documents. Mm. Well, right on this very network, I've done the work. I've shown you what it's all about. I showed you J. Edward Epstein. I showed you the website that he built. I showed you the work he did on 9/11. I showed you him on Charlie Rose, basically running interference for Israeli intelligence after they murdered somebody in, I think it was Dubai, you know, in a hotel. Mm-hmm. Like that's what that's about. It's about narrative management. That guy did a ton of work, J. Edward Epstein, on the dissident view, yet falling in line with the official narrative of John F. Kennedy, wrote many books on it, worked with James Angleton. These guys have intelligence connections all over, right? Well, I don't know if you've seen it. Go ahead.
Well, but this is the thing, just sort of, you know, expanding it out to a wider idea is like, you've seen real conspiracies. There are conspiracies that you and I know about where it's like, here's how it happened, here's who did it, here's... And when you take that and you sort of, you know, at least take it as a template almost, and you sort of lay it on top of whatever the latest speculation is, and you go, does this align or not? And I think that's really valuable, because now people, again, it's, you know, the White House Correspondents' Dinner, they're just like, it was a setup. And it's just like, what? Like, let's do journalistic, you know, integrity here. Who faked it? Why did they fake it? What was the actual thing that was happening? What is the official story? Why would they do it like this? And you just take it a couple steps further and you go, that doesn't make any sense. And it's definitely not worth it, because these people are human. These are risks they're taking when they do a false flag. I mean, it could all come on. It's a gamble. So taking that all into account, is maybe that's a good, maybe we need to be producing like instructional videos of like, so you're starting to question things. Great. Here's how to think about this stuff. And here's, you know, examples of real life conspiracies. Does your conspiracy match this one? You know, maybe just teaching people sort of, and what would be your advice? Like, how do people need to approach this stuff in order to get to the truth?
Man, I think healthy skepticism out of the gates is always good, right? Especially in the social media sphere, you don't have to be first. Just let everybody know. You don't have to be the first person to have a post ever, right? Ever. Like, you don't have to be that person. That's not a requirement. So I just tell people that take a step back. Hey, wait. Like, for instance, you know, the Bibby videos that recently came out. I did a whole video on them. Because I do a lot of AI right now working on this thing. I know that you guys do a lot of AI over there. The videos looked suspicious to me. Now, at the same time, by the time he had done that third video in the press conference with all these people, I'm like, well, that doesn't look like AI to me. And then people were still on the AI bandwagon.
Right.
And even when I said maybe this coffee video, you know, with Doesn't Spill is AI, that doesn't mean he's not alive
right.
either. You know? Artemis is another great one. I've been a huge critic of NASA and the space program. I think people go too far with what they think the secret space program is. At the same time, I just debated two guys, including Astronomy Live, that claim that they tracked Artemis all the way around the moon and back in, and that was absolutely them, and they're on the pod. And I'm very skeptical of that because I look at NASA as a military-industrial complex extension. They've done a ton of classified work. I don't think the Star Wars program or the Strategic Defense Initiative under Reagan failed. A lot of people forget the guy in charge of that is Mr. UFO guy himself, Edward Teller, everybody. Mr. You know, recruited Lazar guy, Edward Teller. Go watch the videos of him talking about it and think it failed. All right. So I think that we do have all this different technology. I think we do have separate propulsion systems, whether we have manned people deeper in space, et cetera, et cetera. Rockets don't seem to work great for other nation states, right? Like, that's the big problem for me, is that we were getting our arnis kicked by the Soviets, who have also weaponized space, who we obviously have a deal with, Harrison, or we wouldn't be going to the ISS with them, right? And people act like, well, their space program's crap, or they're tin can. I go, hey, dummies. Before the Muskernuts was rebranding NASA to SpaceX, guess how we got to the ISS up until 2017 for a decade? We did it in Kazakhstan with that awful Russian technology.
Right.
So none of these arguments pan out. And look, I'm open to maybe, you know, they're going up there in this little 300 square foot box with limited control, 664,000 miles. But yeah, am I a skeptic? Does that mean that I'm going to block somebody or get into like a huge online thing? No. Like, one of the things that really bothered me is I had played a clip of Astronomy Live in their claim and on InfoWars. That's where they saw it. And they got at me kind of like they wanted to do a show with me. And I'm like, absolutely. Please email me. He did. And then it's not my show. I'm going on their other guy's show. So it's going to be 2-on-1. I'm fine with that. I'm like, whatever. That's fine. We'll do it. But then I see them announce it. And all of a sudden they start arguing with all these flat earth people. And one of the guys he invites, a flat earther. And I go, whoa, buddy, I don't know who you think you're debating.
Right.
But I don't believe in flat earth. You know, I've looked at all those arguments as well. You know, even while we were on break, Harrison, I had people cursing me out on the magic box because I don't think Butler is staged.
Right.
You know, but will they provide any evidence for me? They won't. I'm a facts over feelings guy. And I know Jones talks about his gut all the time. Look, my gut brings me to places all the time that actually make it worse. But I make sure that I back up my gut with evidence that I can present to just about anybody else out there.
Yeah. And again, that's where a lot of the division is happening right now. And that's, I've heard Alex say, you know, very similar things in the recent past, people criticizing him and him going, look, I'm willing to go anywhere. The truth is crazier than fiction. I'm not discounting that some crazy stuff has happened, but you got to show me the evidence, or you got to at least open up, you know, a vulnerability. You know, there's got to be a chink in the armor of the official story for me to really get in there. But you know, if you're just asserting things with no evidence, then I'm going to reject it with no evidence. That's just good practice, honestly. And it doesn't mean that you discredit it totally, but, you know, flat earth might be, you know, the best example out there where it's like, look, I am also suspicious of some of the space stuff that they carry off. I'm also suspicious of, you know, ancient civilizations and all this, but I don't think the earth is flat. I've looked at the arguments. I'm sorry. I just don't buy it.
Harrison, let's just talk about NASA, like, over the last 30 years and what they're actually been doing, okay? First and foremost, other than the weaponization of space, the commercialization via Starlink, the Department of Defense absolutely has a backdoor into that. Now, when Musk was launching those satellites, he was also launching DARPA's Blackjack program on Falcon 9s, okay? Mm-hmm. So that was the classified version of Starlink that just totally and completely was outside. That has now morphed into something else over the past few years. It is now called Starshield. Now, let's take it back even further. What else does NASA do? Well, they partnered with Google, who, without NASA, really wouldn't be Google. Everybody talks about the Central Intelligence Agency and the seed funding there, right?
Right.
And they should absolutely talk about that. But what they don't talk about is the National Library Initiative. It might be named something just a little bit different. But back in the 90s, they had this initiative to digitize as much as of the physical information on the planet. So they had this company that had already kind of been seed funded and seen by the military industrial complex, right? And they decided to give them the algorithm that would become Google's search engine. And how do I know this? Why does anybody look it up? Larry Page and Sergey Brin, in their thank yous, thank DARPA and NASA specifically for that.
Wow.
Okay. Now, with Google itself, they've been in the practice of quantum computing for over a decade. In 2019, they declared quantum supremacy. Quantum computing is really about artificial intelligence and where they can take it through extended algorithms that you and I will never be privy to or have access to even on the cloud. Okay. So they actually, I think it's the NSQAIL Center, where they're fully partnered right now with Google on artificial intelligence and quantum computing. And that's just one company, right? And you look at the technopoly that they are, Harrison. All right, let's just go through it really quickly. Google's the number one search engine in the world. The number two search engine in the world is YouTube, which is the number one video platform in the world. The number one operating system in the world is a combination of Chrome and Android, which are now merging. All right? They also have an forget about just the NASA space stuff. They have an immortality division. Anybody can look up Calico Labs right now, and it's not just, hey, you're going to live forever in the skin suit you're in. No, we're going to de-age you. That's what they're actually doing.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry if I'm a little skeptical of NASA and rocket ships and we're going to the moon and Mars. You know, the technology, it's funny. So they just claimed to use that heartbeat technology in Iran to find that soldier.
Quiet whisper, you're aware of that, right? Yeah.
I have been a lot of people are saying that's not real. Look, I don't know whether they rescued the guy or not. They absolutely have that technology. In fact, there was a WEF promo because the World Economic Forum loves NASA, where they specifically talked about that technology honing in on your heartbeat through a laser and it being an identifier just like your fingerprints.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think a lot of people are super behind on what's actually going on. Mr. Harrison, I hate to cut this short, but my niece just texted me. She needs to get picked up from track. I think you can do the last 5 minutes. I do want to say this, man. I think you do a bang-up job. It is a surreal moment for me that somehow The Onion and, like I said, you know, Comedy Central flunkies, Adult Swim flunkies, are taking this thing over. I think that they are in for a rude awakening. I hope people, if you liked what I said here, you follow me. But check out all my documentary films for free. Prove me wrong. I'm a jackass. Loose Change Final Cut, Fabled Enemies on 9/11, Shade the Motion Picture, and Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined on the big picture stuff. Got to fly, Harrison. Thank you, brother.
Well, thank you very much. And I know you're only supposed to do 30 minutes. So thank you for the extra time. Very edifying, as always. That's Jason Burmess. Follow him on X at Jason Burmess, rumble.com/C/TheInfoWarrior. And he is The Info Warrior. Thank you, Jason, so much. Yes. Reminiscing about the old days of having to find this information on shady file sharing websites or going into, I guess it wasn't the deep web, but it certainly felt like the deep web at the time. And I remember one time I was watching an Alex interview or monologue, whatever it was. And somebody asked him, or he was responding to a question. Somebody was like, "Are you on drugs?" And I remember him just saying, "I am the drug." I don't know what context this was, but that always stuck with me because I very distinctly remember being probably in high school, staying up way too late, being up all night, looking at this, you know, forbidden information. And legitimately, you know, before I'd ever smoked weed or got drunk or anything, but I had, excuse me, sorry, I got something in my throat. But I had that feeling. I had that feeling of like you're kind of floating, and because sometimes when you're hit with that information, I mean, Bohemian Grove. Every time, like the first time somebody sees Bohemian Grove, you should kind of feel disoriented, right? You should kind of feel like the rug's been pulled out from underneath you, or the aquarium you're in has been shaken up. Like you're just a little bit unmoored, and you're just like, wait. The most powerful and influential people in my country get together, wear robes, praise an owl god in the forest while pretending to sacrifice a child? What? That's crazy. And it sounds crazy. And then you see the video of it, and it's undeniable. I think Bill Hicks had a joke about that where he's like, once you learn that, you can't just go back. You can't just forget it. Everything has to be seen through that lens of understanding. And once you establish that that's a fact, everything else is questionable. Everything else is questionable. If the most rich and important men in our country are coming together to do these weird satanic ceremonies, I think it begs a lot of other questions as follow-ups. And it's that path down which you have to travel. Now, the good news is it really is like a like Plato's Cave or something. I mean, it's amazing. The Plato's Cave was over 2,000 years ago, written over 2,000 years ago, yet it's so applicable. And just the image of going out into the sunlight and it hurts and it burns your eyes and it feels painful. But like, if you persist, if you stick with it, you know, it can be uncomfortable. It can be disorienting and horrifying to find out the truth about the way the world works. But if you stick with it and you keep going and you let yourself sort of absorb it and accept it and your eyes adjust and suddenly you're seeing the truth. And suddenly, you know, you got to make your way through the dark forest, but at the end of it, or through the dark tunnel of the cave, but at the end of it, you're in the sunshine, you're in the valley. And that's the point that people aren't getting to, I think. I think a lot of people right now are still in the process. They're still sort of in that disoriented and skeptical and suspicious, you know, mindset. That's where the blackpilling mindset comes to as well. You know, black pill isn't something that you get to and then you're blackpilled forever. To me, the black pill is like a necessary step of the process that you get through, you get over, because the more you research, the more you look into it, the more you realize there's a spiritual underpinning to all of this. There's a reason this stuff is happening. And at the end of the day, you recognize that being depressed, being blackpilled, being hopeless is literally exactly what they're trying to get you to feel. And so then you understand that if I want to fight these people, I got to be joyful in it. I got to be celebratory in the victories that we have. And I have to be, you know, and I also have to understand that at the end of the day, as bad as these people are, as much as they're destroying the world, you can still disconnect. You can still go out. The birds are still chirping. The sun is still shining. Little kids are still running around. And you don't have to accept their view of the world, which is this apocalyptic maelstrom of misery. No, there's actually a beautiful, you know, the sunny uplands, as Churchill would put it. The sunny uplands are there waiting for us to arrive. And we're here as well, sitting in the sun and telling you everything's great if you want it. Everything can be fixed if you have the will. That's the real white pill at the end of the road.
In a world where globalist, depopulationist principalities and powers of the air have been adding, spraying, and inundating humans with heavy metals, chemicals, and toxins, TheAlexJonesStore.com would like to introduce a new way to remove them from your body from the inside out. Introducing Zeolite. Zeolites are a group of crystal-like porous minerals that are found where molten stone meets water. From the Greek zeo, to boil, and lithos, or light, meaning stone, this unique network of tiny little holes and channels found in zeolite absorb and remove harmful substances like heavy metals, chemicals, and other toxins. So don't delay. Start the process of removing unwanted toxins from your body and put some skin in the game of the info war today by going to TheAlexJonesStore.com and picking up a bottle of zeolite. Light.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.